This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people.
And he has said that the video doesn't represent who he is, but I think it's clear to anyone who heard it that it represents exactly who he is. You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
And I take responsibility for using a personal email account. Obviously, if I were to do it over again, I would not.
But for you to say that there was nothing wrong with you deleting 39,000 emails, again, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I'd like to know, Anderson, why aren't you bringing up the emails? I'd like to know. Why aren't you
getting up the emails?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. And it hasn't been finished at all.
Ken Karpowitz has a question.
It's nice to one on three. To solve a problem, you have to be able to state what the problem is or at least say the name. She won't say the name and President Obama won't say the name. But the name is there. It's radical Islamic terror. And before you solve it, you have to say the name.
Unfortunately, there's been a lot of very divisive, dark things said about Muslims. And it's also very short-sighted and even dangerous to be engaging in the kind of demagogic rhetoric that Donald has about Muslims. We need American Muslims to be part of our eyes and ears on our front lines. I respect his children. His children are incredibly able and devoted, and I think that says a lot about Donald.
I disagree with much of what she's fighting for. I do disagree with her judgment in many cases. But she does fight hard, and she doesn't quit, and she doesn't give up. And I consider that to be a very good trait.
Thanks to both of you.
A little summary of last night's situation, debate number due, and, of course, the third one coming up in 10 days. And, yes, Gladys, it will be over at that point, but, boy, how uncomfortable. It started with them coming together, no handshake, barely an acknowledgement. You could tell it was going to be feisty from the get-go, but thank God for that last question. Even if it was planted, whatever, you know, God bless the gentleman for saying, look at, you know, it's like the dad. John sitting in for Scott this morning, so you hear me reference John. So, John, I thought it was, you know, like the dad walking in the room.
Yeah, came in and said, hey, knock it off, kids.
Yeah, knock it off, you two. Come on, can you say something nice about one another? I thought that was, it was perfect.
It was great to end on a nice high note.
Exactly. And, you know, and I think what they had to say was probably one of the most truthful things out of both their mouths, you know, that they had to say all night long. So that was good, you know. So it was a good way to end it. But needless to say, you knew it was going to be raucous. I mean, even leading into it, you've got a press conference with Trump and four women, three of which had been abused by Bill Clinton. And then the fourth one, of course, was when Hillary was an attorney and represented the rapist against this 12-year-old girl. And so you knew at this point the gloves were going to be off. It was going to be contentious. And the people got what they're looking for. But I got to tell you, I mean, it was like one of those, it's like one of those NASCAR races that you watch and you know they're going to crash and it's going to be ugly. And you just kind of you close your eyes, look up every once in a while, and you know, and oh my goodness, and I kept thinking, John, I go, this is what
This is what it's come down to. This is the America. This is American leadership, right? This is what we got to choose from. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is Bill Martinez Live. We've got our favorite historian coming up next.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. A happy day after. We survived, didn't we? For some of us in Florida, along the coastline, we survived Hurricane Matthew. The rest of us feel like we survived last night's debate. But, hey, you can feel good. Today's Columbus Day. And it's also, interestingly enough, in case this little bit of trivia can help you out, and just smile a little bit, it's Hug a Drummer Day. So if you see somebody with some drumsticks and, you know, the drum, you know, just go up there and hug them. I guess this is their day to be hugged. It's also, on the bright side, National Angel Food Cake Day, National Handbag Day, and, of course, this was probably more fitting from last night, National Kick Butt Day, I guess. Bruce Coffin, our favorite historian, is with us right now. Bruce, how are we doing, buddy?
Columbus Day to you and all your listeners.
Hey, we wanted to straighten out the whole scenario and narrative Columbus Day. I mean, it's like been all over the place, but we always look to you to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. But before we do, I want to pause on that only because I want to get your read on last night's situation. You and I have talked about the antics of Trump, you know, gosh, almost from day one. It was on full display last night. But here it is. I mean, and I kept thinking, I was talking with John about this earlier, that this is America today. I mean, out of all the people that we could have chosen, we have these two people. You know, is it any wonder America is on the skids right now and 7 out of 10 of us say we're on the wrong track?
No, it's not a wonder at all, Bill. And, yeah, who would have thought that we would end up with two congenital liars, and one guy who treats women terribly, and another who's married to a guy who treats women terribly. You couldn't have written a Hollywood script and come up with this.
Yeah, and meanwhile, both of them are saying that they treat women so well, and, you know, let's not think about what's in their past. And I'm not talking about past, but what's been their makeup. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, it's going to be the voter's choice. Does it matter? You know, to quote Hillary at this point, what difference does it make anyway, right?
Yeah, except that I've always wondered. I mean, one of my issues has always been the devil you know and the devil you don't. We've talked about this before. With Hillary, you know the devil you're going to get. With Trump, the problem with Trump is that you don't know whether he's ever going to make good on a lot of his promises. A lot of the promises that he makes, a lot of positions that he stakes on the issues are positions that most Republicans would agree with. Mm-hmm. But my problem has always been Trump. I'm not sure I trust the guy to actually follow through with those promises because he's never done it in the past. So you've got the devil you do know and the devil you don't know. So which one do you choose?
Yeah, it's tough because you're trying to translate the world of politics with the world of business. And it's not like it's a perfect fit. I mean, these are two different mechanisms. And that's not to, you know, It's not to give one over the other. It's just to say this is what we're dealing with. And is it any wonder, after it's all said and done, the voter politic is where it is right now? And not only because of the contention of this country. There, you know, we've had 8 years of, well, you could probably say, you know, ever since the turn of the century here, not just blame it all on Barack Obama, but we've had a number of years, outside of, the immediate time after 9/11. Where we've been at each other's throats.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and so we're sitting here going, okay, you want to get something done here, can we? And meanwhile, we've abandoned the rule of law. That's the other thing, you know, that I think that has hurt us dramatically, is that you can't let go of the rule of law, whether it has to do with immigration or other issues, our Constitution. You can't have a president going out there and, you know, by executive order in fiat, executing law of the land and wondering why, you know, the minions aren't happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And the problem, again, is that both Hillary Clinton, I'm absolutely convinced, will be using executive orders just the way that her predecessor, Barack Obama, used them, which is to say that they, once Congress has not gone along with the agenda that they think Congress should go along with, even though the Constitution specifically says that's the whole point of separation of powers and checks and balances, that the Congress does not have to go along with the president's
right.
priorities. So Barack Obama issued executive orders even after Congress repeatedly refused to pass laws that that he wanted. He issued an executive order. I think Hillary Clinton's going to do the same thing. My worry is that Donald Trump will do the same thing as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say, why wouldn't he? I mean, you know, the pattern's been established. This is what happened. So then now it's a matter of let's play chicken here. Let's see who's got enough strength to hold back a executive order and hold the executive branch in check. You know, we've seen time and again this has been the problem I've had with Mitch McConnell and with Paul Ryan, because I go, where are they? What's going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, yeah, this is, I think, I've written about this. One of my biggest worries in terms of the legacy that Barack Obama is going to leave for subsequent presidents is that they're going to say to themselves, Republican as well as Democrat, since Obama got away with using all these executive orders, why can't I? It might
exactly.
be a policy that you and I agree with, a conservative Republican policy, but if you attain that policy by using an executive order when you're not supposed to, you're violating the Constitution, even if the end is something we both agree with.
Exactly. And this goes back to the rule of law, Bruce. When we abandon and think we're going to short-circuit the rule of law, the dominoes start falling. I mean, you know, so much of, for example, the immigration issue that we deal with, so much of that would be solved if we just followed the laws that have been established. But everybody, and I say everybody, this president, the Democrats want to short-circuit the rule of law. It doesn't move fast enough for them. It was slowed down for a, you know, for a specific purpose. It's not supposed to be, you know, a microwave process. This is something that's supposed to take time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how the Founding Fathers set it up. They wanted politics to be, they didn't necessarily want politics to be slow and cumbersome, but if it took slow and cumbersome to get to the right kind of law, then they were just fine with slow and cumbersome. Mm-hmm. The opposite here is that Obama, through executive orders, acts very quickly, but he does not have the constitutional authority to do that. The Founding Fathers specifically set up this whole checks and balances and three different branches of government so that when a law was passed, it was passed after debate, after compromise, after consensus with both houses of Congress, House and Senate, but also with the president, because mm-hmm. the president can veto legislation. So you want to bring him into the process as well. That
exactly.
is slow and cumbersome. That's how good laws get passed.
Exactly. Well, we know good policy makes for good laws, and our policy has been greatly compromised. And you would think somebody like Hillary Clinton, who is, you know, I clearly on stage between the two of them, I mean, she is far and away, you know, the expert when it comes to policy. It's just the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's very good at that. But again, I do not. If Congress does not go along with Hillary Clinton's political priorities, I'm afraid that'll be the same with Trump, they're going to issue executive orders. They're going to bypass the constitutional process that the founding fathers set up to get good laws passed, good laws in which there is buy-in from the different branches of the government, all of which have different constituencies that they have to please, but that's the whole point of compromise and consensus. Everybody's views get put into the final legislation or as much as possible. That doesn't happen with executive orders.
Well, interestingly enough, the debate started with no handshake and ended with them saying something nice about one another. So, and we have one more yet to look forward to. When we come back, we're talking Columbus Day. Let's square up the historical record. We got our favorite historian, Bruce Kaufman, with us. And
Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm, with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Attention, investors saving for retirement. What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you can see, touch, and hold it in your hands in the form of physical gold and silver coins? You know you can't do that with your stocks. With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually hold them in your hands, where you can get your gold fast in a disaster. Augusta Precious Metals offers free shipping, zero management fees, and Augusta pays all upfront costs. Getting started is absolutely free, so call today. 855-222-5857. Rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau. Augusta Precious Metals enjoys a 98% 5-star customer satisfaction rating with TrustLink.org. Trust Augusta. Call toll-free 855-222-5857 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardovite. Cardovite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardovite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
I love the East, I love the West. North and South are both the best, but I only love to go there as a guest. I love being here with you. I love the sea, I love the shore. I love the rocks and what is more with you. Let it never be a bore, because I love being here with you.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day. 3 hours coming your way from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, around the world via shortwave. Good to have you along with us, America. This is Bill Martinez, and we've got our favorite historian with us, the one and only, yes, Bruce Kaufman, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. And, Bruce, I do want to give you a chance here because the people love, you know, hearing what it is that you have to share with us, and there's a way they can stay connected with you. In fact, you know, last week I especially appreciated your article on Danes and cocaine that I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah, that was actually, I got a ton of emails on that one, Bill, and most everybody thought it was, they'd never heard a story like that. And, right. And again, that's just how wonderful history is. You couldn't make that stuff up. I've always said that about history. Mm-hmm. So many things that actually happened in history, if you tried to pitch that to a Hollywood producer, he'd throw you out on your ear saying that's too crazy, nobody would believe it, but it actually happened. That's what I love about history.
Exactly. Well, real brief, just give a real quick synopsis on Danes and cocaine, and then explain to people how they can stay connected with you and subscribe to your three wonderful weekly services.
Okay, the Danes and cocaine story was really about this tiny country of Denmark, okay, which was occupied by Nazi Germany during the Second World War. Hitler pretty much kind of left them alone because he considered them to be Aryan, so they weren't as treated as badly as some of the Slavic people in Eastern Europe in those countries that he took over. Mm-hmm. And so the Danes it was kind of a live and let live. They suffered in silence. He left them alone. But at one point, they just got fed up with being occupied by Nazi Germany, so they started to harass the Nazi troops that were in Denmark. Mm-hmm. And so Hitler decided, okay, I'm going to get even. I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to have all the Jews in Denmark deported to the concentration camps in Poland and Eastern Europe. The reason I wrote it for that week is because it was announced during Rosh Hashanah that the Nazis were about to export all the Jews. So all the Danes, okay, they rallied to the Danish Jews, and they started to secretly deport them, send them away into neutral Switzerland. And they did it by putting them on boats, and the ship captains would sail the Jews hidden in these boats to Switzerland. Well, the Germans found out about it, so they started to take their German dogs, the dog-sniffing dogs that they had, and they'd go into these boats, and they'd sniff out the Jews, and then they'd send them to the camps. So the Danish scientists came up with a really unique solution. They took a mixture of rabbit's blood and cocaine, and they gave it to all the ship captains, who would rub it on their legs, on their trousers, and the mm-hmm. dogs, when they came in the boats, would immediately smell the rabbit's blood, so they'd be attracted to the Danish captains with it on their clothes, right. And they'd sniff it, and the cocaine would numb their senses, and therefore they had trouble sniffing out the Jews hidden in the boats, Denmark, of all the countries occupied by Nazi Germany, they were the most successful in freeing and in sending to free states, neutral states, the Jewish population. So that's why I call it Danes and cocaine.
Yeah, I like that. Thank God for cocaine, huh?
One of the things I said at the end of the column was, you know, whether something is life-threatening or life-saving depends on how you use it. In this case, it was life-saving.
Exactly, without a doubt. Hey, let's square up the record on Columbus Day. Today's Columbus Day, but it is not without its bit of historical controversy, is it?
Well, yeah, there are a couple of myths about Columbus and his discovery of the New World, one of which is it's conventional wisdom that Columbus knew that the world was round, not flat, and it was large, not small. Actually, most European scholars knew that it was both round and small, round and large. But Columbus miscalculated. Okay, everybody was looking for a route to Asia, and he thought, looking at his maps, that actually the Atlantic Ocean was the route to Asia, and he was completely wrong about that. But he ended up in the New World. And so we're all, in many ways, happy he was wrong. But one of my favorite stories is that Columbus got really shafted by history. He was the first one to discover the New World. Mm. This other Italian explorer by the name of Amerigo Vespucci discovered the New World 8 years after Columbus. And yet we've named both South America and the United States of America after Amerigo Vespucci, not Christopher Columbus. Why? Because Columbus, all captains had to kept a log, a journal of their trip, of their journeys, and then those logs came back to Europe, they were published in book form and sold, okay? Mm-hmm. And so Columbus, his log, his journals were all about the ship life, about the weather, about the animals and the plants that he found. Amerigo Vespucci's log, his journal,
was about the
people.
Sexual habits of the people there too, right?
Right.
It was like a National Enquirer.
Exactly. So, unsurprisingly, his journals sold better than Columbus's journals back in Europe. And one guy who bought one of Vespucci, Amerigo's, was a guy named Martin Waldseemüller. He was a German scholar and map maker. And when he made a map, he published maps of this new world. And since he knew Amerigo Vespucci's journals and didn't know Columbus's, he named it North and South America. So we call America after a guy who actually discovered the world 8 years after Columbus and only knew about the New World because Columbus had already discovered it. But that's how history works sometimes.
Sometimes it's good to be number two, I guess, huh?
Sometimes it's good to be number two. But the other myth here is that, you know, and this is the one that kills me, is that there are a lot of people now, a lot of historians, a lot of people who say Columbus was a genocidal racist. He was a slave. He brought indigenous people back to Europe to be sold into slavery, and therefore we ought to end this holiday. We should stop naming things after Columbus. It's the same thing with the Civil War, here in my hometown, people are trying to change Jefferson Davis Highway to another highway because Jefferson Davis was the head of the Confederacy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The fact of the matter is that Columbus, yes, he did bring the slaves back, but that was an accepted practice at the time. African tribes were indulging in slavery at that time. One African tribe fought a war with another one. The losing tribe became slaves, the winning tribe. So, you know, it was accepted practice back then.
Right. Well, okay, from the first day of history,
exactly.
There's been slavery, right? I mean,
exactly.
You conquer somebody, and you make them a slave.
Yep, exactly. And so it was going on, so that was an accepted practice. So, and Columbus was a person of his time. But the thing that people overlook is how important it was that Columbus discovered the New World. He ushered in what is called the Columbian Exchange today, in which, okay, because of the New World, Europe all of a sudden had a brand new market for all of its products. So Columbus discovers the New World. Then other explorers come and see it. And then there are settlements. People settle it. The British settle it in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and in Jamestown, Virginia, and so on. So now we've got a huge market in which Europe can now export its finished products to the New World. Meanwhile, the New World is exporting products that the Europeans had never seen before, corn, tobacco, but also, and this was critically important, virgin forests. So you're exporting back to Europe timber to build ships, which was a huge, important market for the New World.
Right.
The point being is that in some ways, Columbus initiated, you know, we're pulling the New World into modern times. One historian put it really well. He said the Columbian Exchange brought, quote, reason, science, self-reliance, individualism, ambition, and productive achievement to a people who were based in primitivism, mysticism, and collectivism. In other words, we've now got a new world that we're going to modernize, and that is all because of the Columbian Exchange, which is all because of Christopher Columbus. So all these people saying he's a racist, genocidal slave owner, you have to put it in context, and you have to compare it to what occurred because of the Columbian Exchange.
Well, here it is, the original TPP, right?
Exactly.
You know, when you think about it, the challenge is how do you do that in such a way to where it's win-win? At the time, like you say, the challenge is to keep this all in context to where you understand the balance and how it served each entity. And in this particular case, it seemed to be win-win, didn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you're absolutely right, Bill. Always, when you look back at history, you have to put things in context. You have to kind of walk in their shoes. Would you have made different decisions about slavery, about any of those things, if you were living in those times?
Hey, we're still trying to figure out what kind of decision we make with Iraq. Are you kidding me? I mean, talk about keeping things in context. But lest we forget, this is why we need you, Bruce, to, you know, keep the record straight here and keep it honest, because these are some of the things that are not being taught in our favorite universities and local schools. But this is why we continue to fight for truth in history as well, because it's so critical. Bruce Kaufman has been with us, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Thank you, Bruce.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious. And that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. If restrictions apply in some states, see pharmacy for details. It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of the Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too. Scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
A note to D.C. bureaucrats. You're not getting away with it. Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, when my baby smiled at me, I'll go to Rio de Janeiro. I'm a salsa fellow. When my baby smiles at me, the shuttle lightens up my life. And I am free at last. What a blast.
Your program, your calls. Your opinions, Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's all about you. Why not, America? 28 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. Roshini Rajkumar is with us, a communications consultant who works with business and sports executives, including the Minnesota Vikings. So she thought she'd come on the show and do an end zone dance because the Vikes are rather mighty, still undefeated, the only undefeated team in the NFL, right?
It is a great time to be a Vikings fan, Bill. It really is, and maybe it's the magic of our new stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to overanalyze it. I'm just going to take the 5-0 in the W column.
Why not? Well, Sam Bradford, who, you know, many people had said this kid's a great player. He just needs to find the right home, and he seems to have found the right offense and the right home here. They're really clicking. Great chemistry in the team.
Yeah, and you said it, it's the team, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as any group of people in sports or otherwise can really work out among themselves how to play to the magic of each person, but as a cohesive team, then great things happen. So, you know, probably both of our presidential candidates could take some tips from the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, as a crisis management expert, one who deals in issues of when businesses make mistakes and they find themselves in one of those, shouldn't have done it kind of moments, boy, both sides, there's plenty of crisis management issues to deal with. Of course, the biggest one, you would say, was Donald Trump and the off-mic comments that he made with Billy Bush.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been so much commentary on that, both on Twitter and from various analysts about what it all means. It really does come down to the fact that his words, his voice, are on tape. And when you listen to that audio, which I did do on Friday, and, you know, unfortunately a couple more times since then, there's no sign that he was pushed to say those things. Or under duress to say those things. He said those words, and he can call it locker room banter, but you know what? I know a lot of athletes. I've coached various people on sports teams. There are a lot of respectful locker rooms out there, so don't throw every locker room under the bus by saying that. I mean, that's what I found offense to, and it doesn't make it right. You can't compare what he said about possible sexual assault and that kind of banter. You can't compare it to ISIS. That's a whole different conversation. People can not like ISIS and they cannot like sexual assault. You don't have to pick one of those.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, his mission last night was to stop the bleeding. I mean, his candidacy was hemorrhaging, no doubt about it. You know, what's your read on it? Did he accomplish his mission?
You know, the thing is, you see some of these different polls saying that such a high percentage of people, their opinion did not change about him. Well, maybe their opinion wasn't great in the first place. So I don't know if that part of the poll really tells us anything. But what I am watching for as I look at any of these debates, and I watch both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump with a very high degree of scrutiny, I am looking for that level of presidential presence and decorum. And the really sad thing about last night's debate, Bill, is that it will go down as one of the worst in history. And we're talking history, not just of the modern era, but in history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a time when duels were happening, between with guns with candidates. Right. So this is the worst debate, was the worst debate last night that our country has ever experienced. I was kind of starting to get squeamish as I was watching it about 10 minutes in because I thought, oh my gosh, we've got 90 minutes of this and it's not comfortable. I'm concerned about any children who might be in the room in households around America.
Yeah, and that was the first question, right? What are the kids going to think, you know, kind of
thing. That is not how these debates should be. So as far as the hemorrhaging, I mean, Donald Trump proved to be more of himself. He interrupted Hillary Clinton quite a few times, maybe a few fewer times than debate number one, but he still interrupted her. He was still that gotcha. That's what I kept on kind of thinking to myself, the subtextual message. You know, we talk about that on your show. What are the subtextual messages for anything we do, say, our body language, everything? Well, that gotcha line. So, you know, the question was answered, and then he added that little line, will you be in jail?
Yes.
You know, if he were running the law, the places where the courts are and the laws live, she'd be in jail. Well, that's that gotcha line.
Yeah.
And that's the line that really got him in trouble. I don't know that even the special prosecutor part of that answer was as bad without the gotcha line about putting her in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So he just doesn't know when to end the sentence, when to put the period on it, and move on.
Did you see the Luntz interaction? You know, of course, he's hired by Fox, and he had a room, you know, I don't know what, about 30 independents from St. Louis, from the St. Louis area. And it was interesting their read on this thing, because he admittedly said that, you know, as far as he was concerned going into this debate, that, you know, Trump was dead, that he was gone. There's no way, you know, they better get Mike Pence, somebody else in here, because he's not going to last. His candidacy is gone. And the people, interestingly enough, when they, you know, he asked how many of you were for Hillary, how many for Trump, how many changed their mind afterwards and who they went to. And the predominant number went to Trump after the debate. And I got to tell you, I was as surprised as Frank Luntz was with that.
Yeah, that is surprising. And I guess it's hard to know what exactly, you know, changed that emotion in their hearts and in their minds. Is it because they thought he won? Is it because they thought he really stood up for himself? And maybe they were leaning slightly Republican, so they wanted to see him really stick up for himself. What I saw, as you know, both watching and hearing about some of the criticism of Hillary Clinton, is that she didn't really come out as much fighting as some of her supporters wanted to see. Well, here's the thing. We're getting back to that decorum piece. So when two people are in a presidential debate, it's very different from the partisan primaries. This is the entire nation, and you know, millions of people around the world are watching to see what kind of leader would you be if you had to represent the United States and all 330 million of us in front of other leaders of other nations in a global context, in one-on-one national settings. That's what we're looking for in these debates. We're not looking for you to pull out the boxing gloves and go tooth and nail, point to point. That's petty. That's not presidential.
Well, for what we would interpret presidential as being, Roisin, I think that you're right. Most of us would want some decorum. But, you know, you have kind of, there was an expert on last night, or a commentator, I should say, from Britain, having gone through Brexit and the movement there, the populist movement. And maybe the swing is such that it's so demonstrably toward what about America that people are willing to, you know, set that stuff aside and saying, look, we need somebody to fight for us. And, you know, on top of this exposure of this off my comment from Donald Trump, you get the WikiLeaks distribution of this document that says, well, you know, here it is, confirmation that Hillary is two-faced. You know, Martha Raddatz brought that right to her and said, hey, you know, is it okay to be two-faced? And, of course, she tried to circumvent that by trying to bring in Abraham Lincoln into the deal.
Yeah, interesting. The whole choreography of that, I thought it was well asked. I still wanted more from that answer.
Right.
Because if she was referring to commenting on Abraham Lincoln's strategy at one time, she didn't quite close it out and say, so I use that as an example, but here's why sometimes some audiences aren't going to be able to take the full Monty, so to speak.
Right.
You have to have a tighter version. I mean, if I had been coaching anyone, I call that audience analysis. Based on the audience in front of you, you structure an answer they can handle. Right. I don't know that it means that there's a private and a public response. I didn't really like that terminology myself, but that whole exchange left me wanting more because I was a little confused by it.
Yeah, she didn't have the answer, and there were certainly times when Donald Trump, in the same way, was not very artful in closing the deal on some of these things that I thought he could have done and been more effective with. But, Roisin, that's why people need you. Rajkumar has been with us, communications consultant. Thank you, Roisin.
This report is brought to you by FEMA and the Federal Alliance for Safe Homes. No matter where you live, natural disasters can strike at any time. Right now, it's hurricane season, when tropical storms and hurricanes can bring dangerous, costly flooding and wind damage along the coast and inland. So take the time to protect your home and property today and get hurricane strong. Leslie Chapman Henderson, CEO, Federal Alliance for Safe Homes.
More than half of U.S. homeowners are without adequate property insurance to make complete financial recovery after a hurricane. So with peak hurricane season underway, it's vital that families not only have an emergency preparedness plan for safety, but a financial plan to help them build back, bounce back, and recover quickly from a worst-case scenario. Contact your insurance company for an insurance checkup today and invest in flood insurance. That way you'll be protected the next time tropical or severe weather strikes.
Know your risk and have a plan. Get hurricane strong. For more information, visit ready.gov or flash.org. This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. Crank up the grill this football season using a do-it-all marinade to score big with family and friends. Ben Napier.
Grilling is essential at a tailgate, but stocking up on ingredients can be costly. That's why we love to use our do-it-all marinade. Just mix 3 parts olive oil, 2 parts soy sauce, and 1 part each Worcester and balsamic. Plus a dash of lemon juice, Dijon, pepper, and garlic. Drizzle it over some chicken in a bag and let it marinate in the fridge for about 4 hours.
Aaron Napier.
For our tailgating essentials, we use our Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card at wholesale clubs and grocery stores because we earn 2% cash back. We also earn 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, and 1% on all other purchases.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback. That's bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. Research thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
You know, you've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Longevity, that's 855-305-8326.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
All my friends, you're the lowrider. The lowrider is a little higher.
A little head bobbing music here. You know, you're going to be head bobbing all morning long. I'm sorry to do this to you, but hey, a little lowrider music to get it going and to keep us rolling. Bill Martinez here with you, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Kathy Lynn Taylor is with us, author of Red is the New Black, How Women Can Fashion a More Powerful America. Kathy was President George W. Bush's National Security Council Director for International Finance Policy. Kathy, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me this morning. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Yeah, good to have you on to bring some perspective here. You know, what I thought of last night in watching the debate is there is a saying in sports, the have-tos always seem to win out over the need-tos. Donald Trump had to. He had to do something about his candidacy. Once again, he put himself in that position where people were already writing up the obituary, putting out, you know, the buried here signs and walking away, including, you know, many of the Republican Guard.
He did. He gave himself a lifeline, I suppose. But boy, I mean, the hospital needs to have a look taken at it for sure. I mean, here's the thing. This is a crazy situation. I mean, if it was Hollywood writing a script, you would say this is ridiculous. Yes. Nobody's going to believe this. You cannot produce this.
Right.
And it gets weirder by the minute. Mm-hmm. And I think Americans are frustrated, upset, disgusted, dismayed, everything. And this was the choice last night between the bad and the worst. I mean, it just couldn't get lower. And they both really sank to lows. Trump seemed to have given himself a lifeline, and the challenge is that everything around him seems to be so volatile at the moment. Many folks are so uncomfortable. He still has a lot of supporters. That's why he got that lifeline going.
Right.
But there's so many folks still uncomfortable that people are afraid to embrace and afraid to let go. And so they're making these very rash decisions. And he is kind of putting everyone in a situation where, well, everyone's kind of looking like fools, right? We weren't against him. We're going to disavow him. Oh, well, now he might have a lifeline. Now we're not quite sure. I suggest everybody stop and breathe.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster ride. There's no doubt about it. I mean, here it is. You know, like you said, he did get a lifeline for himself. But this is, I mean, who would have thought reality TV presidential election 2016? I mean, this is the morphing of reality television.
It is, and it makes you really hearken back for a statesman in many respects.
Yes.
You know, I had the privilege, as you mentioned, of serving under George W. Bush in the National Security Council. And regardless of politics, what I and everyone else who worked under that president will say is that he was a fantastic leader for whom to work.
Right.
He was respectful. He was smart. He was engaged. He let his staff do their thing, but with a very clear mission coming from him. He had all the attributes of a good leader for whom one would work. But the media never gave him a chance. And you kind of think the media, boy, would they like to maybe go back and give President George W. Bush a chance, not only because his ideas are proving to have been quite right, but because, I mean, this is just rigmarole.
Yes,
it really
exactly.
makes you crave that kind of good American values that a statesman or a stateswoman might have, and neither showed that last night.
Well, what is demonstrated in a leader, first of all, is they're anchored in what they believe in. And George W. Bush, and this is the problem that I had with the media and his attack, constant attack on George W. Bush, and to his credit, he stayed anchored regardless of the attacks. And I appreciated that about him. And I think, as you say, you know, this is why history is turning out to be rather kind, and it should be, to George W. Bush for, you know, what he came into. I mean, you know, you talk about what Barack Obama inherited. George W. Bush, and this is not said at all, it barely, you know, because the Democrats aren't about to point this out. You know, look at what President Clinton did before him in order to have this, you know, this windfall, this budget windfall. He blighted the military. So here we are, a year after President Bush coming into office, he's got to go to war. And what does he have to go to war with? Nothing, because President Clinton had blighted the military. And so here we are, and it's deja vu one more time. This next president comes in because of the volatility of our national security. You're looking at it. You've got the experience. I mean, America is even more vulnerable now than we were back then. And look at our military today. This is going to be an uphill battle for this next president.
Oh, it is. I don't envy this next president from any respect, not only because of the climate, but as you said, they are inheriting an economy, a military, a social system, a justice system, all have been in great upheaval without all the necessary care and attention. I write extensively about this in the book because we get so fixated sometimes, particularly on the conservative side, about the right policy. We've got to go back and look at our values. And when we talk about values, things like personal accountability and financial independence and strength, not only personal strength, but strength of our homeland, then we actually get a lot more alignment and agreement on policy than one might think. And I'd like to see us take the conversation there. Frankly, conservatives haven't been as good as that at that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I write extensively about it because then when you look at policies from that angle, from the angle of values, you see that we had great wealth in the 80s and early 90s before Clinton took office because government spending was so low, less than 20% of GDP. And then you see what happened with Bill Clinton and the expansion of welfare, the obliteration of military spending, and you see what happened in terms of George Bush inheriting that and trying to do right by that. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, oh, Republicans created Trump, this problem within the Republican Party. And I will be contrite. We have not listened as a party well enough to our voters. There were too many out there who felt unheard. And we certainly haven't messaged effectively as the Democrats.
Right.
But we did not create Donald Trump. President Obama created Donald Trump. Bill Clinton created Donald Trump. We are still recovering from the Bill Clinton economy. And we've had an absolute lack of social or foreign policy over the last 8 years. That's created the dissatisfaction and anger
right.
that has let Donald Trump rise.
Well, there's been, and of course, this is happening around the world. We saw what happened with Brexit and the populist reaction there, and it would appear that the sentiment and the call for populism is so high that, Donald Trump's margin of error factor has been increased because of that. Because they have no hope. They're not seeing any hope whatsoever in being heard by someone who's been a career politician, and there's enough track record. You know, as the saying goes, you want to look what somebody will do, look what they've done. And it's pretty well documented what they can expect from Hillary, and they don't think they have a fair shot at it.
No, and, you know, there's a big social component here. There's an emotional component that we never talk about or think about when we discuss policy. And I don't mean to make it too soft, but it's important. You know, I had a family member who traveled to China in the 80s, before you were really able to travel there freely, and traveled as part of the U.S., on a trip sponsored by the U.S. government. And they came back and they said to me, everyone's so happy. They only have bikes. They have to work 2 months to buy a refrigerator, or 6 months. I can't remember the exact amount of time. Mm-hmm. They have nothing. But you drive around the streets and people are happy. Now, that's not true in China today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you don't know what you don't have, you're not necessarily missing it.
Right.
There are so many upsides of globalism, and it is important and it's inevitable. But one of the things that we have to consider is that when you have everything presented to everyone, everybody wants it yesterday.
Yes.
And it's not realistic. And so we've now set up America as the American dream, where everyone coming wants it yesterday, and even Americans who have been here want it yesterday. And that's going on around the world, and the problem is it's not possible. So how do we reset expectations? How do we come back to the values of hard work and accountability to get the things that people so want to have and that we want all people to have all over the world?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big question.
And that's leadership.
The conversation on values is going away.
That's leadership, Kathy, and that's greatly lacking. There's no doubt about it when you talk about different countries who are able, even like in the in Denmark, where, you've got the movement of socialism, and they try to tout some of it, and they say no, but at the very heart of it is the ethics of the people who are committed to hard work. So in a way, it's a little bit of a homogenization of socialism with, a work ethic. You know, I found it quite interesting and ironic, Kathy, that last night, it's almost as if this thing went full circle in terms of when Bill Clinton was impeached, and everybody wanted to get over that right away because the big excuse was, but economically, look at what we're doing under Bill Clinton. Let's excuse him because of the economy and what he did, if you remember. And so that it was like, let's get beyond that and let's not look at the impact, the social impact that his bad behavior had, which I believe is just incredible and underreported as well. That's a whole nother sociological study, I believe, in terms of another sexual revolution that was jettisoned as a result of that whole situation. And so now here it is, the very thing that people use for Bill Clinton, in a way, is kind of being attached to Donald Trump. Does that make sense?
That's right. Right. Well, and, you know,
Hillary is in the center of both.
And she's in the center for once again.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of amazing how this has happened. Right.
It is. And with all this talk of women and sex and everything else, nobody's talking about policies for women. It's unbelievable. It's like I say, it's like 52% shades of gray, 52% being the female vote. And it's like the forgotten conversation. But you're absolutely, absolutely right. And it's a shame. And, you know, they could go back and forth all day long. The reality is what happened with Bill Clinton happened while he was president.
Yes.
Right? Much of it.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but much of it.
Right.
And that's a whole nother level that the media is not talking about in any way, shape, or form.
Well, Kathy, we got to have you back. Thank you for coming on. Kathy Lynn Taylor, author of Red is the New Black, How Women Can Fashion a More Powerful America. She was President George W. Bush's National Security Council Director for International Finance Policy. Kathy, look forward to having you back on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 2 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breed. He also discovered how normal cells turned into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Introducing the